Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, and this is the general discussion, 9 a.m. And we have with us this morning, to talk about the grant. Hey, Ginny.
I think I had talked to you guys a couple of times previously about a grant that we got for some natural hazard mitigation type projects. And we received the grant of $441,555 last year after the Crouse Lane fire. And it was a FEMA pilot project where after every fire that received a fire manager's assistance grant designation, which the Crouse Lane fire did, FEMA would give a certain amount of money to each of those communities, mainly to use for rehabilitation in the fire area. However, we could do any projects that fall within FEMA's Natural Hazard Grant Mitigation Program. So it's kind of open. But again, that priority being restoration of the burn area. And so we started having some meetings. I pulled together folks from all of the different fire districts, and most of them participated. County Forestry also participated, and Josephine Soil and Water Conservation District. And actually, initially, the airports did as well. And so we came up with some really great project ideas, and we would work with the person at the state who then would forward our ideas to FEMA, and they said, nope, you can't do any of those things. And we said, okay. So we reconvened the committee again and put together some more project ideas. And from talking with our state person, we know that these actually do qualify, all of these as potential projects. Now, FEMA will ultimately have the say, but we know that they meet the parameters. They're actually solidly within those priorities. And so, also having spoken with you before about the process that we should follow, you guys had instructed me to have the committee come up with a way to spend all of the money, a prioritized project list, to bring that to you and have you guys kind of say, yep, this sounds good, and then we'll send our applications off to FEMA. These applications and the grant itself is actually a 75-25 grant, meaning they will cover 75% of the project. So within these applications, we have taken into account how we would come up with our 25%. And Gabe can talk a little bit more about the forestry applications if you guys have any questions. The other one is from Soil and Water Conservation District, and they deal with these kinds of grants all the time, and they have multiple different funding streams, and they can use soft match, a lot of different ways to come up with that. So, do you guys have any questions?
So, what are the projects with forestry?
It's just begun.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm just passing out each of the applications so that you guys can look at them.
So my predecessor had actually submitted the initial work on these, and then
I just give you two copies of the same one.
Committee's request primarily on the acres that we want to try to hazard mitigation forms, basically make it fireproof. We had a much larger list associated with that. And then the other project is for rehabilitation primarily of Douglas County or Douglas Complex fire damaged properties. So our two proposals are hazard mitigation on four different tracts totaling about 240 acres, just kind of in the preliminary phase. They're basically properties that we have very slow supplies on them. And then
no, they have a different
the rehabilitation acres of the Douglas Complex would help us plant basically 800 acres down on the complex, primarily acres that we weren't able to harvest and salvage from the acres that we were able to harvest and salvage from those acres will require rehabilitation.
So this can be used for the Douglas Complex as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our fire was much different than the other fires around the nation, where the Krause Lane fire did virtually no damage to homes, and it burned quite a bit of it on BLM land. We can only use these dollars on state or county or private land. So we ended up with a very small amount of area that we even could have done anything with. And because there is a lawsuit currently between those property owners and Rough and Ready Mill, we weren't even able to use any of those dollars directly on the ground in the Krause Lane fire area. However, we went out, surveyed the area. There's really nothing alarming to us as far as looking at damages that would occur post-fire. So we're not in a situation where we needed to try to negotiate anyway.
That area is really still very dense.
It is, and part of Soil and Water Conservation District's grants will allow those dollars to be used on private land. Where we got into some challenges is the 75-25 grant. Usually we have Title III grants, and those are funded at 100%. So having folks needing to come up with that other 25% actually put us in a situation where many of the projects we weren't even able to do. We didn't have a way to carry them out, so there was no way to apply for them. So at least going through Soil and Water, people can come. They'll run the grant program just like what they've done with ODF with the $400 rebate program. They will solicit property owners to have that work done. So that will at least help somewhat. But again, we can't use those dollars on BLM either. So
for me, the priority for the Douglas Complex is providing some sort of a buffer between non-treated BLM and our private acres. So reforestation is great, but the propensity for things to burn in an area that isn't treated post-fire is 3 times. And I would imagine that the Douglas Complex is at least that. That's the average. So is there any way to do fuels mitigation buffer zones between the BLM land in that area is very contiguous. So is there a way to provide some sort of on private land, just a fuels reduction buffer, or we've treated all of the land, so our land is void of fuels, so to speak, other than the seedlings that are going to be germinating and, you know, flourishing in 3 to 5 years. There's going to be a significant fuel load next to all of these dry snags. That's what I would like to, I don't know, have as a priority, because otherwise we're just putting more fuels in the ground to grow up if we don't have something.
How would we do a buffer since we can't use the money on BLM land? I mean, we have control of our own, but we can't spend this on BLM to create a buffer with them. You know,
I'm not exactly sure how that would work. If we have untreated land on our section, or we provide a cat track, property line, I don't know.
It has to be adjacent to communities at risk. So
it has to be, I'm sorry, it has to be what?
The fuel reduction work needs to be adjacent to what's called communities at risk. So it has to actually protect homes.
Okay.
So between our land and BLM land wouldn't qualify. Between our land and private residences would.
I see. Yeah,
this is the rehabilitation work.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure glad there's somebody that can sort these out.
We didn't want to lose out on any of those dollars, but we were quite challenged in putting together a project list where we could all come up with the 25% needed to actually carry out the project and meet FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program requirements.
You didn't exactly spell out who's coming up with the 25%.
That is my understanding, and feel free to correct me when I'm wrong, is that we can satisfy that through current salaries for personnel. So we would use our personnel to administer the contracts.
So it's
out on the ground, yes.
Okay.
You can kind of an in-kind.
In-kind, anything that we spend on seedlings out of pocket, labor out of pocket, all counts towards our 25% investment into it.
So untreated, we didn't harvest it because it wasn't merchantable. Are we
treating it before we do the reforestation, that would seem to qualify for the fuel reduction element next to, you know, reducing a hazard to our community. Or are we just going in and reseeding?
Just primarily reseeding, rehabilitate, trying to get trees back on the ground rather than relying on nature to take care of itself and possibly turn it into brush patches.
Are there fuels buffers included in that proposal?
There's no fuels involved with the rehabilitation work.
Okay.
Going back to what Jenny addressed, that the fuels work has to be in adjacent to communities of risk. And that doesn't mean that, it's just rehabilitation of burn acres.
Because we have a forestry program here and they're not solely funded by federal dollars, we actually have had a much easier time than other counties around Oregon being able to have some work done, because that 25% is already in the forestry budget. So that's hugely advantageous for us to be able to then, really what we're getting to do is to add a whole lot more money into that program and have a great benefit on county lands.
And then the project that the Soil Water Conservation District turned in was for approximately 25% of the funds, over $100,000. They're currently involved with the SRS work that we're doing, which is 100% by grant. There's no match involved with it, but it's for fire-wise communities, so they actually have to organize as a community to get that work performed. And I believe the Soil Water Conservation District's objective with this portion of their grant is to be able to go out and work with individual landowners and treat those acres rather than having to rely on the community effort.
For Soil and Water, they do a really great job of tracking in-kind time, and their plan was to work with each individual homeowner to say, but what would work with you? What would work for you? If the homeowner buys plants, if the homeowner actually goes out and does some of the work on their property, all of those things count. So there's really a multitude of ways to come up with that 25%. And again, my understanding from Michelle and Randy is that they're quite familiar with working within those confines, and so they just get creative and make it work. But like Dave said, this allows them to do some fuel work in that home ignition zone on those properties for folks that aren't part of a FireWise community, which is that requirement for Title III.
And I don't believe we would be involved, Josephine County Forestry would be involved with that work like we are on the SRS.
No, their plan, and I think they put it in the grant application, their plan is to use contractors to accomplish the work where appropriate. But again, these can be very individualized projects with the homeowners, where the homeowners can do the work or some of the work as well.
This application needs to be in?
I believe it needs to be in by August. However, that we need to have actual applications into FEMA by August. So we're really down to the wire as far as getting our pre-applications up to the state, because our initial round of projects were all denied.
I said the soil and water one has Cave Junction, Williams, Wolf Creek, and other small communities within Josephine County, all which have experienced issues.
Right.
Is there any coordination going on with what BLM is doing? Does it make sense to do something?
Soil and Water.
Coordinated effort?
Soil and Water was hopeful that they would be able to put some of these dollars on the ground out where they have another BLM project going. However, these grants didn't really, because of the restrictions and the 75-25, we weren't really in a position to where we could collaborate the way that I wish that we could have.
Seems like you could leverage the BLM to be doing work in areas that prioritize under this.
to say, look, we're doing something here. Why don't you guys do something on the other side of the line? And we actually, you know, get more bang for the buck.
And there has been a little bit of that in terms of the mitigation properties that we buy deed on government lands, but that's certainly something that should be shared with them.
Yeah.
And maybe we could help steer them to those areas.
Yeah.
I have a better project.
Tons of country, 45,000 acres of untreated, just absolute waste.
I specifically spoke with the Fuels Committee about this grant, and they didn't see an opportunity to collaborate based on the requirements of this grant and the requirements of the other grants that they typically work. They have set their priorities several years in advance, and that is done in collaboration with the county and the state. As they're looking at where those priority areas are, and that's all based on our risk assessment. So there's definitely a lot of thought that goes into it. In this particular case, getting dollars on the ground was really only feasible because of the 75-25. Going through soil and water or looking at doing something with forestry. No one else was able to come up with that 25%.
I'm not saying it needs to go to the letter of the grant. It needs to be intent. Because it says here on page 2 of this one, rehabilitation of wildfire damage lands project, Bureau of Land Management has several like projects adjacent to and in the immediate vicinity of this project. So it sounds as though, at least that's what you're saying, that there is some sort of a coordinated effort, or they're treating everywhere and we're treating next to them. So this is on the rehabilitation of wildfire
right.
damage lands project.
And that is verbiage that Vic put in there. And he should
and
be familiar.
Yeah. It's just such a, I think in general it's 5-10% typically
it is.
The fire damage lands that they actually do work on.
Are we coordinating with them at all on our neighboring lands and trying to emphasize fuels reductions?
To the degree possible, you know, every time we get an opportunity to talk to them, you know, bring up the good neighbor policy with the government and stuff, and how the lack of management on their land certainly puts private and other public lands at risk.
I would prefer the question, are they cooperating with us to these ends?
No. No, not to any significant degree, no. Other than basically transportation systems is about the extent of our cooperation.
Okay. I think I would have preferred to read these ahead of time. It's tough to read these and formulate any kind of a stuff.
Shall we schedule it Thursday and I'll give you time to read it?
Yeah, we're going to have to move this forward on a weekly business session, or how do you need approval? You just need approval to go forward.
It's simply a consensus from you guys that says, yep, looks
good.
We can apply, yeah. So it's even something that you could take some time to read, and all three of you could send me an email individually that says, yep, I'm okay with this.
Well, I think the consensus is, yep, we're okay with this until we have a reason to just say no, because we can't get to a decision even... singularly, collectively.
Right.
Okay.
So, why don't we just read it over and then bring it back Thursday, and that way
and
we'll have had a chance to read them.
I would appreciate your input as to do you support these and why, because you have much more on site involvement than I ever would have. But if you read these things, page 2 on the basic project identification.
And I'll give you an opportunity to read those, but in my understanding of them, the answer is yes.
Okay.
You get a 75% improvement for a 25% investment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I support all of the projects.
Okay.
I think it's a huge blessing to Johnson County that we are able to put dollars on the ground for homeowners, and that we're able to put dollars on the ground for forestry. I will not be in town on Thursday.
I will be at the Thursday meeting, except for of timber sales.
Okay.
So okay. I don't know as much about the grant that Jenny does, but I do know about the projects that I submitted.
Well, in just a cursory review, these are 800 acres of that we probably wouldn't have the resources to invest in the reforestation element. And so they wouldn't be, they would be naturally rolled back into our portfolio as opposed to being cultivated as the tree farm that we're looking to grow. So that's pretty significant.
And that's why when the initial two proposals were just Josephine County's forestries, not Soil Water Conservation District. So when they put in a proposal, I had to go back and revisit these and pull back someplace. And where I pulled back was on the actual mitigation acres, and I left the rehabilitation acres as presented initially. Mm-hmm. Now, that was where we preferred to put our efforts, was into that rehabilitation.
Okay.
But we felt like we should really be submitting projects for Josephine mm-hmm. County, and so we wanted to see some of those dollars on the ground for private landowners. That wasn't specifically tied to the strings of FireWise. Not that it wouldn't subscribe to those same fire safety principles, as much as not every community wants to be a FireWise community, and so if you're living in one that doesn't want to be, you're not able to take advantage of the other dollars that we have available.
Okay. Okay. Shall we just do it Thursday, and if we have any questions about the project, we can ask David.
Sure. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you both.
And your full agenda, so thank you. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, next item is the allowing fireworks displays in the county. All right, Memorial weekend, 4th of July weekend. Do you have anything to comment or add? I have a letter here dated May 19th. Have you seen this letter from the...
I just got it this morning.
Police? Yeah, I did too, so... typically, if the permits are issued to our planning department, correct? Are they?
I don't know.
Permits for fireworks displays issued in the planning department?
I
thought somebody had applied for a permit in planning for private fireworks display.
I know the ones that happened at Lake Selmec or out and about Treehouse. I don't know if they've ever applied for a permit to us. They go to the fire
district. If they're in a fire district, they wouldn't have to.
Districts.
No. If it's in a fire, and they're in a fire district.
Okay.
Yeah, both
of those.
They've
got
IV.
Yep. IV and...
This applies to those that are not within a district.
So. Yep, the unprotected area mm-hmm. where you guys have area. Jurisdiction.
I received a message, I believe it was from planning, that someone applied for a fireworks permit at planning for a private party.
So BNOV control plans? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
But once fire season goes into effect, I think those are strictly illegal.
Yeah,
they are.
By July 1, we're in fire season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the county, can grant, just as I believe a fire district can also grant on lands that they have authority over, permits for people to do fireworks displays. And so it isn't something mm-hmm. that has necessarily been brought to the board before, but because of our large structurally unprotected area, the board is actually the body that would make the decision to grant or deny the permit, as opposed to grants pass or IV or the other fire entities.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy for me as the answer to know.
I don't think we should allow.
Even though it's not
fire season. We just had some trees, another dead trees, another year or more dead trees taken out, and it's dry out there,
even though
it's rained.
It's going to be 10 mm-hmm. times drier by mm-hmm. the end of the month. It's just not even an option. If you're outside of the fire district, I don't know what you're doing out there. I mean, there's very little population in those areas. There are people, but it's not like out and about treehouse, as I understand it, in IV fire, and Lake Selmec is in IV fire. Williams has its own fire district. Outside of those areas.
Wolf Creek.
Well, so what we're talking about is Rural Metro's service area. Mm-hmm. So someone on Lower River Road, say. We're not talking about out in the wildland. Mm. Simply the area that doesn't have a formal fire district where the private fire service agencies provide coverage. That is where you are the decision-making authority about those permits for people.
Well, this calls out supervision of fireworks displays, and I don't think we should be allowing fireworks displays in the unprotected areas. Simple as that.
Well, I mean, but then you get into the situation, okay, so they're all banned. Who's going to enforce it? Well, but
this is absolutely.
Why have a law if you're not going to enforce it?
We don't have liability.
This is from the department.
Somebody an opportunity to do a fireworks display.
This is.
If I'm granting it. You just say no, and our liability isn't as great. That's the difference.
Well, this came from the state police. So, I think what they're wanting to know is if they get called as well. Somebody's having a fireworks display out somewhere. They get a call. They want to know whether it's authorized or permitted or not. And if we tell them we aren't issuing permits, they know exactly what they need to do.
Yeah.
So.
And it's actually the state fire marshal's office.
Right, the state fire marshal, but
which is a division of the state police.
It is. So the state police would be the ones who would be enforcing it. State fire marshal, state police.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to endorse something like that, and then. Then we inherit the liability because we said yes. If we say no, our liability is cut significantly. Mm-hmm. If they choose to do it illegally, then they're breaking the law. But if you grant them the approval to do it, well, that's crazy.
The fire districts are in a slightly different position than the board in that they're able to look at their lands and their resources and make a determination if they're able to protect or respond based on.
Sure.
You know, something not working for us, it's multiple private fire service providers,
which we have no authority over to say we're going to grant it out on Lower River Road. Can you please go out there and have a fire truck standing by? We don't do that.
We can't.
When they that's the liability tie. When IV does it for Lake Summit, they've got two trucks out there just sitting there ready to go. That's the difference. We don't have the resources to mitigate that liability, so we just take it on.
So do we have a consensus here that we're just not going to be granting permits?
Sure.
Commissioner Hicks?
I would say yes, we would not grant permits.
For fireworks displays?
For fireworks.
That's the question in the letter, is for fireworks displays.
Outside the boundaries of any municipality or fire protection district.
Right. So, you want me to, on behalf of the board, send a response to this?
Yep, sounds good.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll send a letter.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Do you need to send out any kind of a press release? It's on that pass as far as even county and countywide. Unprotected areas, the answer is no. Protected areas, seek out.
I'll get ready at the same time as the letter.
And that doesn't mean that Bruce Moss's cabin, which is out there with his family, that they can't have fireworks.
Well,
I mean, but that's what...
Okay, we're talking about fireworks displays.
Yeah.
We're not talking about an individual having a fountain in their front yard.
As long as that is thoroughly understood. Otherwise...
By use of display. By using the word display, supervision of fireworks displays.
And
typically displays means you're some kind of an event.
And July 4 is kind of on the cusp of, is it going to be fire season? Is it not going to be fire season? Mm-hmm. And so I think for those private, you know, a fountain or sparklers or something in your yard, we would follow, or the unprotected areas would follow whatever ODS put into effect as far as fire season restrictions.
And they'll put that out at that time.
Right.
If they totally ban them.
I can almost assure you that it will be fire season before July 4th, because that is a hot one for ODF, is to make sure that happens, to try and mitigate people out in and around in the rural areas from lighting off fireworks and burning something up.
I can't think of the last decade how they did it called July 4th.
Yeah.
they were saying it was going to be June 15th, and I think that even could be later. They've done it as early as, you know, the beginning of June.
Well, it wasn't 2 years ago. In May, we were already having fires.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago. February. 3 years ago.
We had one in February.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
We did.
The one over there was... So, yeah, it...
And they should be staffed by mid-June, so things will be lined up to call fire season when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, great.
I'll do the letter and get a press release out as well on that one. So, okay, you folks have anything else? No? Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Other. Commissioner Hare. Commissioner Hare. Okay. I do. I have a couple of things. Last Friday, when Congressman Walden was here, I gave him a copy of our election results and the measure on the advisory question. And you were there, I think, when I did that. And so I have drafted a letter just to inform the others who were not there, the congressmen, the senators, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a copy of the draft. And I wanted to know if you wanted me to send that on behalf of the board, or if you wanted didn't want me to send it at all. But I thought it would be important for us to inform them when they're having these discussions as to what the voters here who are affected had to say about it.
I think that would be covered with the board. Maybe some board chair.
I think I have her do that with the board,
yeah,
as chair, which would be from the board. But if you want all to sign it, we can do that. That's no big deal. But since I had requested, I didn't want to put your name,
yeah,
on it without asking as to how you wanted it done. Or if you even wanted it done.
Whatever the gravitas.
Pardon?
Whatever the gravitas could be, maybe better to have all three of us on there.
Okay.
This is really good.
Mm-hmm. Kind of succinct to the point.
Mm-hmm. Well, knowing the, if you're trying to make a point, the brief, more brief, better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These are unofficial results. If you're going to go to the hundredth of a percentage, they will change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's also another statistic of 18,000 something odd acres, and I think it's, if you want to be technical, it's 63.5 miles of destination, but I'm pretty sure it's 63.5. I can get you the exact number.
Okay, if you'll get me that number, yeah, on the number of miles.
Well, no, it's very important to have, if it is, where are you taking that half mile? Is it at the dam?
Yeah.
Or is it at the...
Yeah, the half a mile is a long way.
No, well, half a mile, they include this dam, Lost Creek. That,
yeah,
that was a really important distinction,
yeah,
for me, that it wasn't up until the...
Yeah, the foot of the dam.
Other side of it, yeah. So that half mile may...
So on the results, I should put estimated results. Or unofficial.
Unofficial
results. She hasn't certified it yet.
Yeah. That would be the uncertified results. That might be better than unofficial. And it's still about uncertified. Because they have not yet been certified.
And then all three signatures?
I think it would be
better. I can redo this and then put the signature file.
This is really good, Commissioner Walker. I appreciate you doing this. There might be one additional point. Can I just ask it?
Pardon?
Oh, it was, why do you question everybody, not just the property owners that are going to be affected, but really this destination has a, maybe some of the impacts that we foresaw, and that negatively the property rights, potential access to the river. Maybe we don't need to put that in there.
Well, I put in here, the river goes through the heart of the city, where homes and businesses,
yeah,
are located along the river. a wild and scenic designation would place a burden on future enjoyment and or development of property in our county.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a quarter mile on either side of the river, that was the designated area.
You want me to put that in there?
It might be, to just give an idea.
Okay.
18,000 was something. Maybe it's the total number of acres, private landowners.
There was a number. It was 17,000 and something.
Yeah.
But I didn't put the acreage in there.
It was in the question, I think, that there was 17,000 to 18,000 acres of private land being affected by this. A friend of the family said, how was I supposed to vote on that? And I said, well, you're supposed to vote however you want. What do you intend your vote to do? And she said, well, I thought all of it was public land. And I said, No,
it was stated right in there, wasn't it?
18,000, yeah, acres of private land, or 17,000. She's like, you're kidding. And I said, no, it's not like the other section that was predominantly public.
Public, yes.
This was...
Well, I know, I put that in there. The Lower Rogue River was appropriately designated wild and scenic in the original public law. Most of the property adjoining the Lower River public land had very few parcels of private land.
Yeah, it made a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. And then... Then I go to the new proposal.
Well, you've got, you have plenty of the numbers. You have that 85% private land at Trans River. That's in there in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you just lost in the details sometimes.
Yeah, I didn't want to put too many numbers to get people lost in it. But
that's if that cannot be impressed.
Yeah, there you go.
You have 85% is private land. Yeah. Come on, guys. Yeah.
It's pretty huge.
60-40.
And then I'm going to put an enclosure, a copy of the measure and the results in with it, so they can actually read the language that we put out on the measure.
Great.
Good.
Okay, I'll get this ready for the signature file. Okay.
I like this at the week for business session.
Yeah.
A good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought we bothered to take the question because it's a federal issue. We need to let our federal delegation know what the results were. So, okay, a couple others.
What could be the single most important factor in keeping it from being designated when you have such a significant number of the population saying one thing?
One could hope that.
Yeah, and that even people who voted for it, like this friend of mine, she really didn't intend for that to be your outcome. When you ask her about it, it was confusing to her, so it's pretty telling. It could have been much, much higher.
Well, the BLM is under the Department of Interior, so do you think it would be of any benefit to send it to the committee? Or just
you mean
send it to
the Secretary of Interior?
Well, we can send it to the Secretary of Interior, but I don't know if that would do any good because they get mountains of stuff. But we could do that, send it to the Secretary of Interior, but we could also, what I was thinking is a committee that is reviewing recommendations for legislation, which would be the
House
Natural Resources Committee.
I would say if you don't know. If you do, yes, you do. You did it. I don't know what the difficulty would be.
Yeah, I just don't know if it would be a benefit to do it because it's not before them yet.
The benefit is Congress on the floor being able to hand up this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody knows
to make the argument.
Whether you read it or not, it's your problem, but you've got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Two other things. Again, I've received a questionnaire in regards to. It says the Oregon legislature asked the Chief Justice to report in December 2016 with information about courthouse replacement projects for which he might request funding in the next 12 years. So this is a 12-year projection. The Chief Justice can request state bond funds to pay up to 50% of the cost to replace unsafe court facilities. Please return the questionnaire no later than Friday, June 10th. So either we answer, yes, we intend to request state funding or have a strong interest in replacing our courthouse and want more information from OJD or Justice Department that what might be involved in the request, or no, we do not plan to do anything in the next 12 years. So if we answer yes, we have to briefly describe any steps we have taken to review the condition of the courthouse and what information we have available would meet the three Chief Justice findings below, and the three are this. The courthouse has significant structural defects, including seismic defects. We have no seismic that present actual or potential threats to human health and safety. Replacing the courthouse is more cost-effective than remodeling or repairing the existing courthouse. And replacing the courthouse allows for co-location of other state offices with the court.
Cheryl, we have that scheduled for a general discussion on the 31st.
Oh, did you?
With the request attending.
Okay.
The Ryan Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, heads up that this is coming up the pike. So, okay, give it some thought. And then I'm going to go back here to February. I received a notice in February from USDA Rural Utilities that there were grant and loan funds. Available for broadband access in rural areas. And they asked for a letter of need and interest in that, which I prepared, about a two-page one, sent it to them. And I received a notice from them in March that our request had not been accepted as one of those to actually apply to the invitation. So 2 weeks after I got that, I got another notice that there was a USDA Rural Development grant funds available for the same thing, broadband. And I thought, well, that's odd. Doesn't the agency talk, you know, because if they have all this broadband money. So I've tried to get some definition as to, is this the same pot of money? Has Rural Utilities actually given the money to Rural Development? Haven't been able to find that out. What would be involved in applying? The deadline is coming up. I think it's in June sometime. End of June, maybe. But anyway, I've been trying to get information from various people in the county. The proposal I put in, because there was short notice on that letter of interest I sent in February, was for IV. I sent it in regards to the need for access for individuals, for the schools, for business expansion, for recreational, because of the caves and the campgrounds and all that, people that were coming in, you know, that want to have access, and the airport. And that one, I said, was denied. So it's like, do I want to go through all that work to do this again? But I'm trying to get information from some of the people that live in various areas of the county, because I know that that is one of the topics that came up in the various community meetings in regards to the economic development strategic plan. A lot of people, we need more broadband access, we need faster internet, and yet when you actually go down and talk to them, they say, well, we have broadband, we have internet, and then some people say, but it's not fast enough. So there's a lot of confusion out there as to what is available. However, I've received a message from CaveNet, and I've received I had a discussion with Mr. Camp, Cameron Camp, about this topic. And the problem being is this is a loan, and it doesn't even say what the max, you know, what the interest rates or anything. It's just a loan. And I don't know that any of us are in a position to take on loans for these kinds of projects, because the payback is pretty minimal on these kinds of loans for infrastructure. And so anyhow, I just want you to know it's out there. I've been trying to work on it and have run into a lot of misinformation, obstacles, and confusing information that's actually contradictory from depending on who you talk to. And but the deadline is out there. Now, another conversation
have
I had.
Have you contacted Congressman Walden's office, because he used to serve on the subcommittee before?
I've not contacted his office about it, no. And but I've had conversations with SoReady and with the subscribe to the providers and subscribers out in the Illinois Valley, and our own airport here could use additional broadband service. So I know there's a need, but as to what extent and whether it would qualify. So I printed this all off of the Federal Register. So, anyhow, I will keep working on it.
And I
just wanted you to know I'm working on it.
I would concur with Mr. Hare, let's take the easy way and check with Representative Holden's office.
And is there one person you said that is?
Well, he's a Riley.
Riley is.
A local guy, but he'll refer you to.
Yeah.
There's the staff.
Yeah, I'll just call Riley. Okay. I mean, I hate to miss an opportunity. Every time we have an opportunity, I try to follow it. And
And you're not really sure what that opportunity is either.
Yeah. And of course, then when you're trying to prepare a proposal to match a need, when you get conflicting information about the needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here I'm going to the sources and I'm getting conflicting information about what they need. That makes it really hard. So, anyhow. That being said, that's all I have. And just wanted you to be aware of what I'm attempting to do. So, anything else? Nothing? Okay, I will get that letter ready for signature file. And it is 9:46, and we are adjourned.